Good morning. I'm Hillary Weinstock with the Division of STD Prevention at CDC, and I'm going to take a little different tact and give more of an overview of the CDC surveillance strategy and how this has really been beneficial to us. As you probably all know, there are several components to the strategy: enhancing the accountability, resource use, workforce, and innovation for surveillance at CDC and our partners, accelerating the utilization of emerging tools and approaches, and through cross-cutting agency initiatives, improve surveillance by addressing data availability, system usability, redundancies, and incorporation of new information technologies in major systems. So it's this third goal, improving surveillance through cross-cutting initiatives, that we're mostly talking about today, in particular modernizing the National Notifiable Disease Surveillance System. And that's what I'm going to focus on, though I'm going to talk a little bit about accelerating electronic laboratory reporting and some other related issues as well. So what are the opportunities that we see in emerging health information technologies for STDs, but for public health in general, certainly? For STDs, we see certainly opportunities for decreased manual reporting from traditional data sources to more automated data use. Improved interoperability of data systems is extremely important. We see opportunities for novel partnerships and collaborations, and improved analytics and visualization and communication of public health data and information. And sometimes we focus on collecting and processing data, but not disseminating it back. And I think there are a lot of opportunities there as well. So among the most commonly reportable infectious notifiable diseases, STDs make up about 85, including HIV, make up about 85% of all notifiable conditions. So along with being a huge burden health-wise, it's also a huge burden in terms of managing data at local and state health departments and at CDC. And there are a lot of limitations of these data as well that NMI may or may not, in some cases, assist with. There are a large number of cases, for example, of chlamydia and gonorrhea that are undetected and reported. Most cases of chlamydia and gonorrhea are asymptomatic, for example. I don't think NMI will help with that. We cannot assess repeat infections or infections at more than one anatomic site. That's something that there may be some benefit through NMI. We cannot assess currently co-infections. Currently, only minimal demographic, clinical, and epidemiologic information is available for most STDs, especially those high-volume STDs, which limit their use for public health monitoring and action. And just to give you some example, here are rates of reported cases of chlamydia by sex in the United States, and you can see large increases for both men and women. We don't think, this is NNDS data, we don't think, however, this reflects morbidity, however, through a number of other surveys and other surveillance. We do think this probably reflects increased use of more sensitive tests and more screening in the United States. However, our case reporting data can't give us the context to really understand these increases. Similarly, for gonorrhea, we see big increases in men most recently compared to women. Are these increases in men who have sex with men, or do they reflect more screening of men in various anatomic sites of infection? Our case reporting data currently can't tell us that, but we do think future data through message mapping guides and relational data can help us, can give us more information about where infections occur. So when I talk about improvements in surveillance, I like to talk about where in the flow of information we're speaking. Data goes from providers and laboratories to health departments, within the health departments where it's processed through a variety of information systems for STDs, from health departments to C-cells, and from C-cells to the CDC program, and then back again out to state, local health departments, and to the public as a whole. So here, just more graphically, you can see the flow of information from providers and labs through a variety of methods, whether it's HL7 messaging, paper, other forms, from state and local health departments. Data then goes to C-cells. Right now, we are only getting NETS data for STDs, and from C-cells to the STD program. So So with regard to data from laboratories going to health departments in particular, we and this is stated in the epidemiology and laboratory capacity grant, are hoping to see 100% processing of chlamydia and gonorrhea data in an automated way. We did a survey about a year ago of STD programs in which we asked how they received currently their laboratory data. 17 of 59 programs said they did not receive electronic lab reports in an HL7 or NEDS compliant fashion. 5 of 59 programs said they received less than 20% of their laboratory data in that way. Just 13 programs said that over 80% of their laboratory reports were in an HL7 or NEDS-compliant fashion. So there's a lot of work to do. Of the 42 jurisdictions that said they did receive HL7 or NEDS-compliant laboratory data, 16 still have to enter those data manually. They receive it, in other words, but then they have to process it manually. 25 process data automatically, 19 enter it semi-automatically. They have to move it around, which takes some work, and 17 process it in more than one way. Most jurisdictions, virtually all jurisdictions, still receive paper reports. We're also encouraging STD programs to move to more integrated systems. This is also in the Epidemiology and Laboratory Capacity Grant, either by transitioning to a surveillance system, or an information system, rather, that's already in place. For states that use STD MIS that have not identified a replacement system, to upgrade to the most current version that'll easily let them move off of it in the future, or to implement the NEDS-based system. Now, these, just to give you an idea, this just shows you the variety of systems for STD that are out there. There are a lot of colors, which shows you how many different kinds of systems. The one in dark blue, I realize there are a lot of different shades of blue, are custom-based systems. Those in orange are those are states that have the STD MIS system, which is more of a siloed system for STDs. There are 14 of those, but 10 or 15 years ago, there are over 30 of those. So we're slowly moving states away from those siloed systems. Those in green are ones implementing currently the MBS system. So in a survey we did about a year ago, 21 of 59 jurisdictions said they were planning to change to a new information system in the next 1 to 2 years. Some already have. 8 of the 21 said they were planning to change to NBS, 7 of 21 to Maven. So looking at where the MBS system occurs, you can see 22 jurisdictions that now have it. There are about 4 states that are moving, if they haven't already moved to NBS in the last several months. We are already receiving data from Maine. The NBS team, actually, since we cannot receive yet HL7 data at CDC through the MBPS, has created a Rapid City router that converts HL7 data within the NBS to a NETS format so that we can get NBS data, and we can encourage more states to move to that more integrated approach. So Leslie Ann already talked about the MMT priorities, obviously the generic V2, hepatitis, STDs, which includes Jankoi, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and congenital syphilis, pertussis, and mumps. These have been the priorities for a number of years now, and we're looking forward to their being piloted soon. So one thing we're really excited about is the opportunity to get more enhanced data through the message mapping guides. As I mentioned before, if a person is infected at more than one anatomic site, we cannot receive that information. We'll get information on one infection. This is a project we did through another Sentinel surveillance system where we received data on gonorrhea infections from 10 Sentinel surveillance jurisdictions. And we saw that of individuals with gonorrhea, 13% of them had infections at more than one anatomic site, either the urethra, the pharynx, or the rectum. Right now, we can't get that kind of information. We should with the message mapping guides. So we think that'll be very, very important. Lizzie Ann mentioned that there are a lot of groups that are involved in MND development. Michelle mentioned there are a lot of people involved, a lot of folks involved with implementation of the message mapping guides as well. It's been a huge process over a number of years. This is just a picture of the SCD message mapping guide. It goes on for pages. You obviously can't read that. The pilot test ready versions are available at this website. I'm sure you can't see that as well, but this will be online. There are five states that are planning to pilot the message mapping guides later this summer or fall. Michigan, Oregon, Florida, Arizona, and North Carolina. So we're really excited about that and being able to see how that works. In anticipation of the message mapping guide development process and receiving data from the message mapping guide several years ago, we began building in our own division a data repository that can receive data from CSLs from the MVPS, and it can also receive data through NETs. Obviously, we'll continue to have a NET stream for some time, so we can't turn that off right away. But this data repository will be able to also contain legacy data, and it'll be able to import several streams of data through NETs and the MVPS. We'll store it in-house and be able to apply a number of applications to it so we can better analyze our data. So our next steps, we plan, as I said, to pilot the message mapping guides this summer, but maybe this fall. We hope to review and receive new data through the MVPS. We are again continuing to encourage sites to retire their siloed information systems and move to more integrated ones. We're trying to harmonize data elements where that's possible. I haven't mentioned it, but certainly electronic case reporting is very important for STDs. As I mentioned, we get very little associated data with laboratory reports of STDs. Electronic case reporting has the potential of providing a lot more context, a lot more information associated with gonorrhea and chlamydia that are so prevalent. And we hope to expand the use of CMS, Medicaid data, and other large administrative databases for surveillance purposes. I haven't talked about this, but it's particularly useful potentially, not so much for laboratory-based conditions, but sequelae of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, PID, ectopic pregnancy, other clinical conditions that might be associated with STDs. So that's something we have been and intend to continue. Just a picture of our surveillance report. We put this out every fall after we receive data from the states. Our last 16 surveillance reports, we're printing fewer and fewer copies, but we are putting them on the web where they get a lot more views and attention. In addition, we use the surveillance data for fact sheets. We incorporate our finding. This is also on our center atlas. The data are queryable. This is not just SCD data, but also HIV, hepatitis, TB data are queryable on our center atlas. And we report our findings to the media and the general public, because these data do really are the underpinnings of all our work, the work we do in program and policy. So with that, I just want to acknowledge some folks who helped with this presentation. Obviously, I can't mention all the people who were involved in all the work that I mentioned, too numerous to count, really. So thank you very much.